Aaron, thank you so much for that prayer this morning. Aaron is one of the faithful members of our missions committee. Appreciate his work there. Well, this morning, as we continue to think about world missions in this missions conference of our church, I want us to answer two questions. The first question is this: why is mission so important to this church? This church places a lot of emphasis on missions. I don't say that in a boastful way, but it has been a passion of this church for a long time. And I give thanks to all of you, because it takes a church of people who are passionate about world missions. But I want to answer a more important question. And that question is this: why is mission so important to God? And it is. And so what I want to try to do this morning is get to what I would call the guts of missions. Why missions? Why do local churches like ours put so much emphasis on world missions? Why do families like the Camiolas sacrifice so much to take the gospel to the nations? The passage I've chosen this morning is Romans chapter 15, and verses 8 through 12. Romans chapter 15 and verses 8 through 12. The Apostle Paul, writing to the churches in Rome, says this: "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope.'" Our first point this morning is God's promise of salvation. From the beginning, it has always been God's plan that both Jews and Gentiles could be part of the family of God through faith in the salvation provided by the Messiah, Jesus. I want you to know this morning, but from the very beginning, in the plan of God, it has always been his plan that both Jews and Gentiles could be part of the family of God by coming to faith in the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that. It has been his plan to bring Jewish people to salvation in Christ. It has been his plan to bring Gentiles to faith in Christ right from the very beginning. And I say that because Gentiles weren't added on in the New Testament. Okay, don't think that Gentiles got added on when Peter went to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. That's not when it started. That was simply the fulfillment of what had already been promised and foretold. But Jews and Gentiles were always meant to be part of the family of God through faith in the promised Messiah, Jesus. In verse 8, Paul says this: "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promise given to the patriarchs. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised." That is obviously the Jewish people. He became a servant to the Jewish people. He came and was born as a Jewish person among the Jewish people to show that everything that God had foretold and promised was true, to show the circumcised God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. So Jesus came to show that all of God's word is truth and to confirm the promises that were given to the patriarchs. The patriarchs, we could say, are certainly Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We could include Moses and David. We could include other names. But most specifically this morning, we're going to look at the patriarch Abraham, because in a real sense, he is the most important player, Old Testament-wise, in the importance of world missions. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, we have that well-known verse. God says to Abraham, I will bless those, Genesis 12, 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God makes this promise to Abraham. And what I want you to know this morning is that when God says to Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, he was talking specifically about a salvation that would be provided by the coming Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. So when God says to Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, he was talking about the gospel. They would be blessed through the gospel. They would be blessed by faith alone in the coming Messiah, Jesus. And you may say, well, Pastor Tim, how do you know that? How do you get that out of the last part of Genesis 12:3? And here's how I get it. It's because of Galatians chapter 3. When you think of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I want you to think of Galatians chapter 3. Now, I want you to watch this. Very important this morning. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, it says this. Know then, Apostle Paul writing says, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Amazing. I want you to know something, Paul said, that those of faith, those who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that those of faith are the sons of Abraham. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, you are a son or daughter of Abraham. You are. Because the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify or bring salvation to the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. And you say, when did God preach the gospel to Abraham? It tells us when he said to him, in you shall all the nations be blessed. They would be blessed by the salvation that would be available through the coming Messiah, Jesus. And then he says this, so then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Same chapter, Galatians 3, verse 16. It says this, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one and to your offspring, who is Christ. So when the promise was made by God to Abraham and his offspring, it wasn't to Abraham and many offsprings, it was to Abraham and his offspring, singular Christ. The promise was made to Abraham that through him would come Christ, and through him, all the nations would be blessed. All the families of the earth would be blessed. They would be blessed by coming to salvation in Christ. In verse 8, Paul says that Jesus came in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. In Galatians 3:16, it says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring, singular," and that offspring, singular, is Christ himself. So I just want you to see that this morning, because it's going to set up everything else I say. God said to Abraham, "I'm going to bless all the families of the earth," which literally means the people groups, the nations. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you, and that blessing came through Jesus in his provision of salvation. Now, verse 9 is the key to this passage. It ties together the Old and New Testaments. In verse 9, it says, "In order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.'" So Christ came to be a servant to the Jewish people, to the circumcised, to show God's truthfulness. Why? Christ came in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. Why? Why did he come to do those two things? Here's why. In order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Now, I want to tell you something important here. The word Gentiles, as used in Romans 15, refers to the nations. There are other places in the New Testament where the word Gentiles simply refers to non-Jewish people. That's how we tend to use it most often. A Gentile is a non-Jewish person. That's not the full meaning of it here in Romans 15. Gentiles here means people groups. It means the nations. So, in order that the nations might glorify God for his mercy. Do you know what his mercy is? It's his salvation in Christ. Every one of you who have repented of your sin and believe that Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection accomplished everything necessary to provide for our salvation and received him as Lord and Savior, you have received the mercy of God. You deserved eternal judgment. You deserved a life totally separated from God, but instead, he has shown you mercy. He has shown you mercy and salvation. He has shown you, mercy every single day of your life. You experience the mercy of God. Why did Christ come? Why did Christ come? In order that the Gentiles, in order that the nations might glorify God for his mercy. That the nations might bring glory to God for his great gift of salvation. That brings us to our second point, the praise of the nations. Right now, God is on the move all over the world to bring people from every people group to praise and worship his Son and find their greatest joy in him. I want you to know that even as we sit here on this third day of March 2024, God is on the move. He is on the move in Nigeria. He is on the move all over the world. He is on the move to bring people from every people group, and I mean every people group. That's what we're promised in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. People from every tribe and language and tongue and nation are going to praise God around the throne of the Lamb, the slain Lamb. And he is bringing them. He is bringing them in right now to worship his Son. And not only to worship his Son, but to find their greatest joy, their greatest exhilaration in life in knowing Jesus as their Savior. I want you to see something here. I want to just read for you verses 9 through 12. I'm just going to read them. And I want you to see the beauty of these verses. Verses 9 through 12. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. Did you know that every one of those phrases in verses 9 through 12 come from the Old Testament? They come from the Old Testament, not the New Testament. It has always been God's plan to bring the nations to himself to worship and glorify him. People from every people group are going to praise him. They are going to sing to him. They are going to rejoice in him. They are going to extol him. They are going to find their greatest hope in him. I just want to read it again because I think it's so important. In order that the Gentiles, the nations, might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. Wow. It's all for his glory and all for his praise. Do you know why? Because when we praise God and glorify him, we find our greatest joy. It's why we exist. It's who we are as children of God. The true freedom of knowing the salvation of Christ and walking and talking with him every single day. And so I want you to know this morning that we send missionaries to the farthest reaches of the world so that people everywhere can be freed from slavery to sin and hopelessness and find salvation and eternal joy in our great Savior. That's why we send them out there, not just so they'll have a better life. Oh, in almost all cases they do, but it's not the main reason. We send missionaries out to free people from slavery to sin, from slavery to hopelessness, to find salvation and eternal joy in our great Savior. During the Sunday school hour, Missy gave a powerful testimony about the fact that she's not afraid to die because she and John are ministering in one of the most persecuted countries in the world, Nigeria. We saw that statistic last week during our flag ceremony. They are ministering there. She said she's not afraid to die because we're all going to die, but she wants to die well. She wants to die doing the work and service of Christ. Do you know why they're in Nigeria? Because John and Missy want the Nigerians to have that same confidence, that same joy, that same freedom to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. They're there for them so that they might know and praise God and know that kind of freedom and know that kind of exhilaration. Our conference theme this year is Praise the Lord, All You Nations. Our conference verse is Psalm 117 in verse 1, and it says this, Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples. You know what that is? That's Romans 15. That's Romans 15. It's Psalm 117 in Romans 15. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. I want to share a quote with you from John Piper. I want you to listen carefully. This is not going to be on the screen, so I'm just going to read it for you. He said, the purpose of God is to be known and praised and enjoyed and reverenced among all the peoples of the earth. That is why the world exists. That is why the church exists, and that is why you exist. End of quote. I want you to think about that. The purpose of God is to be known and praised and enjoyed and reverenced among all peoples of the earth. That is why the world exists. That is why the church exists. And that is why you exist. Psalm 67:3 says this: Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. In just a few minutes, we're going to close with that great mission song from Keith and Kristen Getty. May the peoples praise you. May the peoples praise you. Folks, that's the heart and soul of missions. That's the guts of missions. That people from every people group will come. They'll know the joy and salvation of Christ and praise our great and gracious and merciful God. That's why the world exists. That's why this church exists. That's why you exist. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, give us passionate zeal for you. Fill us and motivate us with the desire to see people from every people group know you, praise you, enjoy you, and revere you. Help us to be faithful to you and to the great cause of world missions, to bring the nations, to the throne of God, to praise you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.